If I have a red flag, I would wave it here. The media screams from every corner, buy now, pay later. What is not stated is that if you buy now without cash, you will pay much more later. Interest rates on charge accounts have a wide range. Many are in the 18 to 21% bracket. Couples need to read the small print. Credit is a privilege for which you must pay, and the cost is not the same on all plans. One guiding principle is, if you have a credit card, use it only for emergencies, medical treatment, and necessities, car repairs, major appliances. Then pay off the balance as quickly as possible. Never use the card for non-essentials. Instead, save and pay cash. Some financial advisors suggest that couples never own a credit card. However, the all-important FICO score actually can score you lower if you have no credit history. This can be a problem when you get ready to purchase a house, car, or major appliance. The credit card has been, for many couples, a membership card to the Society of the Financially Frustrated. It encourages impulse buying, and most of us have more impulses than we can afford to follow. I know that credit cards can aid in keeping records, and that if payments are made in full promptly, charges are minimal. Most couples, however, will spend more and stretch out payments longer if they regularly use credit cards. Why do we use credit? Because we want now what we cannot pay for now. In the purchase of a house, that may be a wise financial move. We would have to pay rent anyway. If the house is well selected, it will appreciate in value. If we have money for the down payment and can afford the monthly payments, such a purchase is wise. On the other hand, most of our purchases do not appreciate in value. Their value begins to decrease the day we buy them. We buy them before we can afford them. We pay the purchase price, plus the interest charges for credit, while the article itself continues to depreciate in value. I know that there are certain necessities in our society, but why should a young couple think they must obtain in the first year of their marriage what it took their parents 30 years to accumulate? Why must you have the biggest and the best now? With such a philosophy, you destroy the joy of aspiration and attainment. The necessities of life are relatively few. They can be met on your present income. If you are unemployed, our society has help for you. The poorest in this country can have the necessities. I am not opposed to aspiring for more and better things if these can be used for good, but I am suggesting that you live in the present rather than the future. Leave the future joys for future accomplishments. Enjoy today what you have today. For many years, my wife and I have played a little game that we have come to enjoy. It's called, Let's See How Many Things We Can Do Without That Everyone Else Thinks They Must Have. It all started in graduate school days out of necessity, but we got hooked and have continued to play it. The game works like this. On Friday night or Saturday, you go together to the department store and walk down the aisles, looking at whatever catches your eye. Read the labels. Talk about how fascinating each item is, and turn to each other and say, isn't it great that we don't have to have that? Then, while others walk out with arms loaded, names duly signed, you walk out hand in hand, excited that you do not need things to be happy. I highly recommend this game to all young married couples. Another practical idea that can prevent much tragedy is an agreement on the part of both that neither will make a major purchase without consulting the other. The purpose of consulting is to reach agreement regarding the purchase. The term major purchase must be given a dollar value. For example, the couple might agree that neither would ever buy anything that costs more than $100 without such agreement. It is true that many golf clubs and lamps would still be in the showroom if couples followed this principle. But it is also true that many couples would be far happier. Who keeps the books? The final suggestion I wish to make is that you decide before marriage who will keep the books after you are married. The one who keeps the books is the one who pays the monthly bills and keeps tabs on the online accounts. This is the person who seeks to keep the two of you on track with the spending plan upon which you have agreed. This does not mean that the one chosen to keep the books is in charge of making financial decisions. Such decisions are to be made as a team. The bookkeeper may not necessarily remain bookkeeper forever. For one reason or another, you may decide after the first 6 months that it will be far wiser if the other partner would become the bookkeeper. As a couple discusses financial details, it will usually be obvious which one is more adept at such matters. However, be certain that the one who is not keeping the books knows how to do so and has full knowledge regarding various checking and savings accounts. Remember, you are a team, and both team members must be fully aware of financial details. It is my desire that the ideas I have shared in this chapter will help the two of you fully discuss and find agreement on the financial plan you will follow once you are married. I wish someone had told me that we needed a financial plan before we got married. I think I would have followed the advice. Talking it over. 1. What is your present financial plan? How do you use your money? Be as detailed as possible. If you are contemplating marriage, ask your dating partner to do the same. 2. Do you give away 10% of your income? 3. Do you place at least 10% of your income into some savings or investment plan? 4. Discuss items 2 and 3 with your prospective mate and agree on what you will do after you are married. 5. Begin doing individually whatever you plan to do after you are married. That is, if you agree to put 10% of your income into savings after marriage, begin to do so while you are single. What you do now is a good indicator of how well you will follow the plan after marriage. 6. If engaged, declare your total assets and liabilities to your fiancé. Take a realistic look at your debts and resources. 7. Together, work out a payment schedule for any debts you will have when you are married. 8. Together, work out a financial plan for spending your money after you are married. This will require information regarding housing and utility costs. 9. Discuss and seek agreement that neither of you will ever make a major purchase without consulting the other. No agreement, no purchase. Agree on the dollar value of a major purchase. 10. Who will keep the books? Why? To continue, please insert the next CD.